Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. Glad to have you with us here today. And we're in the book of Revelation. Two more to go. And as we do those two, we will have finished the whole Bible in 1 year and a couple days. Been a pretty interesting December for us here on this end, but hey, this is the reality. We got it done in Jesus' mighty name. And we're glad that you all had a great holiday season. And, you know, no matter what, may God's blessing and his richest blessing reside upon you every day, no matter what, no matter what. Well, here we go with the book of Revelation. We are now in the portion of book of Revelation that is chapters, what am I at here, 12 through 18. And this is more insight into the Great Tribulation, 144,000, the plagues and the woes. And we're going to, you know, the thing about Revelation is you see things on earth, or on earth, you see things in heaven, you see things in the future. And John is seeing it all. And he's saying it to us. Remember, in Revelation chapter 1, it says, blessed is he. Let me just read it straight from the Bible. Blessed is he who reads where to go here. Anyways, blessed is he who reads or has it read to him. Verse 3, there it is. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. For the time is near. Well, the greatest thing you got to keep that's in this book is be ready and walk with God. No matter what church you're part of, no matter what religious organization you're part of, walk with God and it'll be a blessing to you, to your family. And you know, people want to get you all wrapped up in their doctrine or their denomination or their organization. We have an organization. We want you to be a part of it. Come and join us. Like, seriously. And help us, those that, some of you that's got skills in computer and stuff. We need your help. But I can get you connected to my organization all day long, but if I don't get you connected to Jesus, you're going to stand before him someday. You're not standing before me. If you don't know the Father, you get to heaven. What did that religious organization do for you if they didn't introduce you to the Father? Because that's what Jesus came here to do, is to introduce us to the Father. So I encourage you today, no matter where you go to church, no matter who you're around, no matter what, make sure that your number one focus is to get in touch with Jesus and come to know the Father. I've been saying recently that when you start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the book of, that's the Jesus, stories of Jesus. Circle or underline, highlight, whatever you do. Every time you see Jesus saying, the Father, my Father, our Father. Why? Because that's what he came here to do, is to restore us to the relationship with the Father that Adam lost in the garden. And he did it very well. Here we go. Chapter 12. The book of Revelation, to any man of God, any preacher, you want to just preach, all right? So let me give you, this is chapter 12. It's going to have Satan, the devil, the serpent, the beast with the seven heads, war in heaven. It's going to talk about the battle between Michael and the archangel. And then the woman is taken and hidden away. This is all in chapter 12. And You and I are going to see all these things continually being carried out right here on this earth. Remember, come and be with us, because we're going to, sometime this month, we're going to be going through Dr. Sutton's teaching on the book of Revelation, the whole teaching, chapter 13. We're going to see the beast. We're going to see the beast system, the seven heads, the empires, the ten horns, the false prophet. All right? That's going to be in chapter 13. Chapter 14 is going to be another informational chapter about the 144,000. Now, we already saw them, and we saw the saints there. This is going to be an informational chapter about the 144,000 and what they do. And then there's a preview of Armageddon. That is in chapter 14. Chapter 15, we're going to see the Crystal Sea. That's the Old and New Testament saints, the 144,000. And we're going to see some more of the bowls of wrath and that. 17, the great harlot, the identity of the harlot. So this is an informational chapter on the harlot. And, of course, we've already seen that. And we've already seen great triumph and everything. And so we're starting now into the informational chapters. Now, I didn't give you anything of the depth that's there, but just read it and you'll be blessed. And then stay connected to us and we'll give you the information. Not this week, probably the third week of January, we're going to go through the book of Revelation right here on our evening program. And you're going to want to be a part of that with us. Remember, my email's right down there in the notes of this program. And shoot me an email, and I'll help you with anything. Chapter 12. Great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon, and on her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour a child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Of course, we know this is Jesus. The child was caught up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God that she should feed there 1,260 days. Satan thrown out of heaven. All right, so here's the battle of Satan in heaven. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. And, of course, you can go back and you can read that in the book of, not Daniel, but Isaiah. I just want to teach it all, but I can't. Verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Now think about this. That piece of information we just got, that happened before the creation. But John saw it happen in this vision. Verse 10, heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Who are these? These are those who overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, you and I can use those same scriptures every day, just like these guys did. And we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. The greatest force, the greatest weapon that any of us have is the power of Almighty God by the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. There is no greater power than the name of Jesus. There is no greater force than the blood of Jesus. There's none. There's nothing that has more power. And when battles get heavy and the warfare is strong, what do you have to do? Speak the name of Jesus and speak the blood of Jesus. 12. I'm in Revelation 12:12. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time, and that's why he's fighting so hard. Verse 13, now when the dragon saw that he'd been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Notice it's capitalized. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she's nourished for a time and times and a half from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed out water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring who kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Serious battle, isn't it? Chapter 13. We're in Revelation chapter 13. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. Of course, when you go back to chapter 1, that's where John was when he got the revelation. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns. On his horns, 10 crowns. On his head, a blasphemous name. So here comes the beast, the mark of the beast, and these are events that have to do with that on the earth. Okay? Then I stood on the sea, and verse 12, now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon came. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Isn't that interesting? So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him. And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemings. He was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. All right? But he doesn't get that authority till the midway in the tribulation. So the mark of the beast doesn't even come out to the midpoint of the tribulation. Keep reading. I'm in Revelation 13:6. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now watch. You and I got to get a hold of something here. Because the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth is Jesus. And you and I have access to be a part of the things of God. And so all of a sudden, you and I got to see, wow, what is this that's going on? Well, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Now, I'm going to read this again. Verse 8, all who dwell on earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life. Now, that means there'll be some who they're not going to worship him. His name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And then the Spirit says, if anyone has ears or ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, of course, you and I have already been raptured to heaven. These are those on the earth during this time of the beast. Verse 11, I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwells on earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. There's people on earth that are saying, I'm not going to worship this image. And of course, the beast and the image of the beast, it's all being empowered by the devil, not by God. Okay. 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their hand or on their foreheads. All right. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Now listen. Who has understanding? Calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. Now watch this. If you go back to John chapter 6, verse 66, St. John, John 6, 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. 666. If you are on the earth and you see this video and the rapture has happened and you find yourself still here, don't take the mark. You seal your doom forever. There'll be preachers who miss the rapture. Go find them. They'll be scared, but they'll lead you to heaven and you'll be caught up. If you die, you'll be caught up in the midpoint of the tribulation and the rapture of the martyred saints. People are like, what? I know. But when you really study this, it's there. Can't go into it. Chapter 14. Fall of Babylon. I looked and beheld a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. It's a beautiful sound. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. God put his name on them, on their forehead. They were not, the enemy is not allowed to destroy them from the earth. So this is what goes on. That's, my goodness. I keep trying to give more details and I just can't do it because I've got to read. Verse 4, these are the ones who are not defiled with the women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. John, this is a read the word program It's another program that we do. This is not our evening program. This is just reading the Bible. And we got two more sessions and we'll be done with the whole Bible. That's what we're doing. We're in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 5. Thanks for asking the question, dude. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God, the 144,000. Verse 6, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. Verse 8, and another angel followed him, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. There's just no way anybody can believe that there's no hell if you read this Bible. It's just in the book. So if you got a different book than the Bible, at least tell people I'm reading a different book, because the Bible is very clear. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. So if you receive the mark of the beast, if you go the way of the enemy, your torment will last forever. Now, that's the Bible. Unless you take that verse out of this Bible, that's what it says. That's why we encourage you every day. Walk with God every day. It doesn't do you any good to look religious, act religious, talk religious, dress religious. It doesn't do you any good. You got to walk with God. Walk with God. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and forever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit. That's a capital S. That's God. That they may rest from their labor and their works follow them. Verse 14. Then I looked and behold a white cloud, and on the clouds sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him. Notice that him is capitalized. Who sat on the cloud? That's Jesus. Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. He's going to reap the nations of the earth with that sickle. And then there comes a point here soon that God, that every human will actually be standing in heaven at the same time at the judgment seat of Christ and the judgment seat of God. Revelation 14:7. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another came out from the altar, who had power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle, gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. The angel thrust his sickle into the earth, gathered the vine of the earth, threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. That's 187 miles. And we'll go back here in Revelation 19, and that's going to be the Battle of Armageddon, where God will wipe out that 100 million man army, and the blood of those men will run to the horse's bridle for 187 miles. That's a lot of miles, and that's a lot of men. We'll get to that in chapter 19. Here we are, chapter 15, verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of saints. We shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name. For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Verse 5, after these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen, having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. Remember, the wrath is reserved for his enemy, not for his children. Verse 8, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Verse 16, then I heard a loud voice from heaven, from the temple, saying to the seven angels, go, pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. The first bowl. So the first went out and poured out his bowl upon the earth. And a foul and loathsome sore came upon men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of waters, and they became blood. I'm in Revelation 16, verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. Guys, Nature itself. This is my window over here. Nature itself tells you, because of its great order, that there is a God and you should believe in him. Nature itself tells you this. Don't resist God. Don't resist God. The angel said, you are righteous. He is righteous. And God gives you his righteousness. You don't earn it. He gives it to you. And as taught, preachers have taught for so long, you sin every day in word, thought, and deed. People don't even know how to even think about the fact that God's going to give us righteousness and help us to be able to live above sin. Listen, I'm in Revelation 16, verse number 5. I heard the angel of the water saying, you're righteous, O Lord. The one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to be. Because you have judged these things. For they shed the blood of saints and prophets. And you, that's capital, have given them blood to drink. It is their just due. And I heard from the altar, another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Verse number 8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. And power was given to him to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory, although they could. Why would he say that unless they could? So it's still possible to repent. Revelation 16:10. Fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. And yet they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. Don't be one of those people. Verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and it was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And look, red letters. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. They actually think that they can overcome our God. When all of history records, nobody has ever overcome him. But if you don't read history, keep a reading, preacher. Here we go. I'm in Revelation 16:17. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. And a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there was the noises and thunderings and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred ever since men were on the earth. And I forget, Dr. Hilton Sutton gave us a reference on that. We've seen 7 on the Richter scale, 8 every now and then. Seems like he said this was going to be like a 50. Anyways, is going to shake the whole earth. The great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell. Great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. You don't want to be here. The believers, when this is happening, are in heaven. So be a believer. Chapter 17. The Scarlet Woman and the Scarlet Beast. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came who talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." That is what the spirit of religion causes people to do, is blaspheme God in the name of a religious indoctrination. What's a talent, Ray John? I'm not remembering. It's been coming back to my mind the whole time here, because it seems like these hailstones, if I remember right, weighed like 150 pounds or something. What verse was that? That was verse number. It's been on my mind, so I've been thinking about it. Like, what was that? Yes, the great hailstones weighed about 120 pounds each. 120-pound hailstones. And yet, you don't get to die. They just crush you. And now you have broken bones. They're falling from heaven like the rain and the snow. I mean, Brother John that's with us right here today, live with us, he's a builder. 120-pound hailstone falling from heaven is going to go through the roof of any of these buildings. And if you, as long as you lived, you know, on the bottom floor or something, you might survive, but you ain't going to survive if you live right under those rafters. That's going to come through and get you. I'm in Revelation 17, and I'm on verse 5. On her forehead, a name was written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Now, this whole chapter is given to the fall of this harlot, which we know is the spirit of religion. But the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven horns and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is." Verse 9, "Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five had fallen, one is, and another has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. The ten horns, which you saw, are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. I'm in Revelation 17, 15. Then he said to me, these waters, which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will make the harlot, will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman who you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Chapter 18. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. This is the fall of Babylon the Great. And of course, the woman is the harlot of religion, and she is in the city of Babylon. Now watch. What did God say to the children of Israel all through the Old Testament? You've gone whoring after other gods. God himself literally used that term because they would go chase another religion that was not of him. Here we go. I'm in chapter 18. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. He cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double. Think about what God is saying. Repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed. Mix double for her. Now, you might think, well, what is this double mean? But when you go to the book of Isaiah, God said that you and I will have double for our shame that the enemy has done against us, and we'll rejoice in our portion. God says we get double for the attack of the enemy against us, and he also says she gets double. She gets double for the wickedness that she did. There's a verse in James that says a leader In the kingdom of God, a teacher is worthy of double honor, but they're also worthy of double judgment if they don't do right. I'm in Revelation 18:7. It's not the Catholic Church, it's the Spirit that controls all religiousness that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. So the sad thing is, Brother John, there'll be a few people from every denomination that'll probably be a part of the spirit of religion, because there's a lot of people that like to look holy and act holy and talk holy, but they don't have no righteousness in them at all. And it's a sad thing, but you can see God's judgment on it. Verse 7, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. And yet she will. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death, mourning, and famine. And she will utterly be burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her. They won't realize they were wrong. They will lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, great city of Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come upon you. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. All through the history of the world, the greatest forms of merchandise have been for the false gods and for the temples and everything. They spent millions and millions and millions of dollars for false gods and false religions. You go to these temples in Eastern countries, to the Eastern religions, they're covered with gold and the people live in poverty. Why? Because of the wickedness of the spirit of religion. Act like God. Act very religious. But there's nothing that changes you. See, Jesus changes you. That's the difference. Jesus comes inside and changes you and gives you a relationship with the Father, not with religion or church. I've got to get these verses done. Ready? I'm in verse 11, Revelation 18:11. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every object of ivory, every object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and bodies and souls of men sacrifice themselves for religion. 14, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships of the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice over her, you holy prophets and apostles, for God has avenged you on her. Interesting. Then a mighty angel took up a millstone, like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. Sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. Sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. The voice of a bridegroom and a bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For, look at this, for by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and saints, and of all who were slain on earth. And what is sorcery? But witchcraft with drugs. That's why so many drugs in the day that we live are so dangerous and destruction, because they have demons with them. They're bound by a demonic curse. And it's called sorcery. Witchcraft with drugs. Many of them are illegal and they're on the street, but many of them are also legal and they're given to people every day by doctors. And yet they're still drugs with sorcery connected to them. I encourage you, if you take medication, to use the name of Jesus and the word of God and the blood of Jesus that you find in Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 through 21. Mark 16 verses 15 through 21 tells you that you should bless your food and your water, and that nothing destructive can come, but you're going to have to bless it, because their sorcery is great today, and they're placing curses on people. Now, let me get you a statement here. God anticipates the destruction of this wicked, perverse person. It calls out the number of Christians associated with the harlot. God said, unless they leave her ranks, they will be judged as partakers with her. Because the harlot is destroyed at mid-tribulation, we know that the event described in the verse, in this verse, occurs before that time. You've got to get away from religiousness and begin a relationship with God yourself. A mighty angel testifies that the harlot will never exist again. The last phrase of verse 23 states that all nations were convinced of the harlot's spirituality by sorcery. This tells us that the harlot's religion was witchcraft. This false church caused the deaths of all the martyred saints. This church exhibits the same characteristics as its leader, a liar and a murderer. I want you to think about this. Jesus came to give life, and what did the scribes and Pharisees say? Let's kill him. Great men and women of God all over the earth in our day teaching you the Bible, and what do they say? Let's kill him. It's the same spirit. It's the same spirit. You can go on the internet and there's all kinds of YouTube channels and Facebook channels that are designed to say about men and women of God, it's kill them. It's wrong. You don't kill people. And we don't even do character assassination with our lips. It's not the Spirit of God. And this is the spirit of religion. And the sad thing is, for years, many people said it was the Catholic Church. Well, it will be some Catholics, but it'll also be some Baptists, and it'll be some Methodists. It'll be some of everybody. Because anywhere that the leaders will let in the spirit of religion and witchcraft to come in and control, it'll sound like God. It might feel like God. You might get goosebumps, but it won't be God, because there'll be no redemptive factor to it. It won't redeem you. It won't buy you back from sin and change your life and bring you transformation. That's why many people won't go back to church, because when they went to church, they didn't find Jesus. They didn't find God. They found religion. They found the Baptists or the Methodists or the Nazarenes or the Charismatics or Pentecostals. It don't matter who it was you found. If you didn't find Jesus, you found religion. And the day after, let's say it differently. 5 minutes, 5-10 seconds after the rapture, there'll be a whole lot of preachers that are going to be freaked right out. They're going to be freaked right out. Because they stood in the pulpit, they carried a Bible, they said, follow me, and they're not holy, and they're not right. And they did not do what was right. And you got to get away from that. That's why I teach you straight out of the Bible, walk with God. Walk with God. You might not be able to find a church in your town. You might not. Since the pandemic, there might not be a good church in your town that actually believes the Bible. There was a day when we would have never said that about America, but that day isn't anymore. And if that's the case, you just come right here and stick with us. And you let us know where you live. We'll see if we can find you a good church in that region, because that's what this is all about. You can come here. You can be a part of us. We preach the word of faith and the word of God every single day of the week right here, somewhere on YouTube. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Lead you to God. Let's pray the prayer of salvation, because I want everybody who might be here today to have the opportunity to know Jesus. You may have missed the rapture and be listening to this after the rapture, completely freaked out that you're still on earth. Don't let it be true. But if it's you, there will be men and women of God who will be on this earth, not left by God. They will turn to men of God immediately once they realize they missed the rapture. Find them. Find us. Stick with us. Get every YouTube video you can find. Download it, and it'll help you. Pray this prayer with me, and we'll be right with God. You got to mean it. You can't just say words. You got to get serious with God. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I need you in my life every day. And according to John 3:16, you say, when I believe in you, you will give me everlasting life. Say this: Jesus, here's my bold declaration of faith. I believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus. All of your grace and your mercy, all of your love and your righteousness filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Welcome to the family of God. You might be saying, wow, Pastor, something's going on inside. It does, because it still happens to me when I lead people in this prayer. What is it? You just said, Jesus, come into my life. And it doesn't matter if you prayed the prayer 1,000 times. Every time you say it, you're going to get that warm glow, that warm, amazing presence of God. Somebody said, Pastor, what is it? God is filling your very being right now with himself. God came to live in you. He's not a God way out there somewhere. He came to live on the inside of you. And he's there to stay. Every day when you wake up, first thing in the morning, say, Father, help me walk with you. Get your Bible. I recommend you get this one. Thompson Chain Reference Bible. There's no commentary in there. It's just the Bible relating to the Bible with many verses to help you relate to the Bible. It's a great Bible. And if you get one with the large print and the really heavy leather, it costs you about $80, but the greatest $80 you'll ever spend. Heaven will record it. And there'll be lots of room on the side of the page to take notes and write things in as you're studying it. I encourage you to get one. If you need to know how, send me an email. My email address is right down there. And then get connected to us. Like, subscribe, hit the bell, follow us. We're here every day teaching the word of faith and how to walk with God. You can't walk with church now, guys. You can't walk with religion. You can't walk with a denomination. You got to walk with the Father. You got to walk with him. And he'll walk with you every day. Because you're going to stand before him. When you stand before him, if you say, well, I knew the Baptist, he's going to say, my name is not Baptist. My name is I Am. But I was a Methodist. It won't matter. It won't matter what title you give him. There's only one thing that matters. And that is, do you know him by this book? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And circle every time Jesus says, the Father, my Father, our Father, anything about the Father. Because that's what he came to do, is show you the Father and crush the enemy. And he did both of those. Got to run. Jesus' mighty name. Make sure you stay connected with us. Because we want to help you know how to walk with God. How to walk with God. In Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again. So what we say, we love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. We'll see you soon. Some of you, in about 2 hours, will be going live for our evening program on Thursday, January 5th, 2023. God bless you.